for 9 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And 30 years of Rosie on the House.
Hour number four of Rosie on the House, the 10 o'clock hour. This is the final broadcast. We'll be covering paint. October is paint month, and we've brought in the production manager for Rosie Remodeling, Don Breeze. A lot of you that have listened for a long time have heard us refer to him over the years as the gentle giant. Spent a number of years in the painting industry and hasn't grown any, you know, like fourth arm or weird mutation from all the fumes. still apparently has his wits about him. And if there's one industry that has more new inventions as it relates to all the trades in the housing, it seems to be painting. Ways to make it easier, ways to make it faster, different brushes, different tapes. And this half hour of the painting hour, we're going to talk about, you know, maybe some of these that you shouldn't spend your money on, or some that do help increase the overall finished product of your paint job. Every hardware show I go to, there's some new invention for paint, but there's not always a new invention for carpenters. There's not always a new invention for electricians, but there's always something for painters.
Yeah, that's true. On any given year, it seems like there's anywhere from a dozen to two dozen innovations in the paint industry, and a lot of them have to do primarily with masking materials and tapes, as you've mentioned, some of the caulking and some of those kinds of products and things have evolved. And so they're making a lot of changes every year, and it's hard to keep up with and know what's good and what's not, that's for sure.
Well, we'll start with prepping tools, because the paint job's only as good as the prep work that goes into it and the surface it's going on top of. How many different types of tapes? There used to be the blue painter's tape.
Yeah.
And now there's 10 variations of the blue one, and then you've got a green one, and you've got a yellow one, and there's an orange one.
Yeah. And while there's not necessarily an industry standard amongst manufacturers for color, 3M being one of the largest, if not the largest. But what they've done with tapes is they have soft releases and different amounts of adhesive, and so some of that is some good money spent if you have delicate surfaces such as wallpaper or things that you want to make sure that you don't have a lot of adhesion. Then that's good money spent. Some of the stuff that they have for pinstriping or doing graphics, that's good money spent. We used to do it in a different way. They've made it easier by putting the product on the backside of the tape, and then it's moisture activated, and that creates a little seal, and that keeps the paint from bleeding behind the paint edge. That's good money spent on those kinds of products.
And that bleed through is critical.
Yes, it is. You can tell a good sharp line from one where you've had, fraying or the areas where the paint's, bled in behind there, and it just doesn't look crisp and clean. Or you're going back and forth for an hour trying to reestablish and straighten out and do the touch-up. So that is good money spent on those on some of those tape materials.
And when you pull off a tape line that's on a 25-foot-long wall run in your living room and you see all these different little bleed-throughs, you think, well, I could just go up there and touch them up by hand. About the first 3 feet, you probably get a nice smooth line, and then you get irritated, frustrated, and you try and hurry it up, and you can see which side they started on and which side they finished on.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's the truth. That's why, there's different techniques for establishing straight lines. You can use water levels. You can use lasers.
Water levels.
Yeah, water levels, basically a PVC tube. 20 to 30 feet long, filled with water, and water seeks its own level. So you can hold one end up at the elevation you want to create the line or the graphic, and take the other end, and it'll find its, seek level with itself. And then you can basically just, go from there and establish a good straight line. And you can make hash marks every 3 to 4 feet to, ensure that you are following a good line. Lasers are an easy way. $30, $40 laser at one of the hardware stores or something, you get a good good line out of that too. So,
and once the tape is on, we've got to make sure we've got a good bond. I've even seen guys that will go behind and put a little tiny bead of caulk right on the edge of the tape.
Yeah, that's the old school way. Yeah, and that's still something that's necessary on some of the more heavily textured surfaces. So the tape that has the product on the backside that's moisture activated works very well on some of the smooth surfaces. You push the edge down, you get a good tight seal, and then once the paint hits it, the product activates, and you end up with a good crisp line. Heavy, you know, textured surfaces that are a little more heavy in nature, that's the way you do it. You'd run the tape. You don't need the special tape for that. You can use regular masking tape, and then you take a some caulking, run it along that edge, take a wet sponge, kind of melt that caulking in a little bit so you can barely see the tape edge, and then you paint it. And the trick is that you pull it while it's wet. If you let the paint dry, sometimes the paint bond is stronger, and you'll end up peeling or fraying that tape edge. So the trick to that is, as you're painting that, you pull it right immediately.
Paint's not going to drip.
No, or if it does, you put on too much. Yeah.
Now, what about the tape width? I've never liked anything over 1.5 inches, maybe 2. Those 3 and 4 inch. That just seems too cumbersome to me. What's the purpose of those super thick tapes?
Yeah, there's times where, for instance, having 2-inch tape is a more practical way of protecting a space such as in between casing and an adjacent wall that perhaps has an accent color or something like that, and trying to do it with paper or freehand, you know, cutting it in isn't a good option. And so you can just run an appropriate width of tape down that particular strip. Generally speaking, you want to just use the smallest width as is necessary to accomplish a good bond in between the area you're trying to protect and the adjacent area you're painting, and then use paper on a masking machine with that tape is a good way to just kind of run an apron, if you will, of protection, such as baseboard, something like that, where you would run a masking machine and then slide your drop cloth up underneath it, and you'd in good shape.
And on your masking machine, it's a hand tool that has a spot you put your tape on.
Yep.
And then it comes around and it connects to either a roll of paper or a roll of plastic. Do
Correct.
You have a preference on paper, plastic, or when do you use one versus the other?
Well, they have what's called 72 and 96 inch masking film, comes in rolls like the paper does. What that's designed to do is, if you had a large area of wall, let's say that you needed to protect, and you were going to be rolling the ceiling next to that wall, it's a lot easier to use the masking film because it dispenses like the paper does, and then you basically just unfold it down to the 72 or 96 inch, whichever, you know, roll you've bought, and it's a real easy way to cover a large amount of wall surface very quickly versus holding up, you know, plastic bisqueen and trying to tape and get that into place. The paper is something that usually use like an apron around an area such as baseboard and sliding a drop cloth up underneath it. That way you don't have to mask a lot of flooring or something like that, and it's a good way to just have some good protection anywhere from 4 to 6 feet out off of the wall. They do have some different paper products for the masking machines. They have regular paper, which is good for general purpose uses. If you're worried about any kind of material leaking through the paper and being absorbed by the paper, they have a green paper. And that will prevent any moisture or any of the product from actually being absorbed and leaching through that paper into the flooring or the.
And just to give anybody a good perspective, when they're working on their own paint project, for a professional, how much time are your crew spending masking and protecting versus physically applying the paint?
That's a great question. As a general rule, if you were painting interior rooms in your house or something like that, about 65 to 70% of your time is spent in either cover and protection or prep of the surfaces, and then the remaining amount, 20 to 25, applying, and 5% cleaning up.
One tool or masking tool that I think really was very smart, if you're painting doors, how much time have you wasted with that little blue tape trying to get it around the curved edge of the hinge? Have you seen the door hinge that's designed to just go straight over the metal plate? You don't have to sit there and mold your tape around it?
Yes, yes. I'm a proponent of actually pulling the hardware off. I think in the end you end up with a better finished product as it moves into that mortised area where the hinges are bedded.
You just have to be real careful if the hardware's off and you're using a roller to not leave a bunch of paint product there. You're gonna just have to cut it out,
sure,
to get that hinge plate to fit flush again.
Yep, that's right. And a lot of times to just kind of help that out, what I'll do is take the screws that I've pulled from the hinge, and then I'll tape them right to the mortised area of the jam, and that'll prevent that from getting, you know, any kind of paint buildup there. You can always take a razor blade as well before you refasten the hinge and just clean that little edge up with a razor blade pretty quickly. So,
well, we're talking painting, and we're going to talk about tools for applying. We've been talking about tools for masking and protecting here at Rosie on the House, joined with the production manager of Rosie Remodeling, Mr. Don Breeze.